post-game show is brought to you by... Christ, I can't find it. The hell with it.
I love Bob Uecker.
It's Sunday, November 2nd, 2014, and this is Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Ted.
And Teddy, it's daylight savings time again, and you know what that means?
It's time to change the batteries on your smoke detector and go over a fire escape plan with your family.
You know, I still got the sticker on my window, but no.
Top finder.
That finder. That is not what I'm talking about. It's daylight savings time again.
Yep.
So it's time to move Derrick Rose to the injured reserve slot on your fantasy basketball team. Yes, he managed to sprain both ankles in his debut there.
Burn. Well, you know, I have a theory about this guy, honest to God, because there's no way that this can keep happening. I think... he actually sucks it hard on the court so that all he has to do is go out there, blow out a tendon, he keeps collecting his money. It's a perfect crime.
Really?
It's the only logical conclusion.
Really? That's not your hatred for all things NBA speaking. That's hard and true gut feeling as to why this guy keeps getting injured?
Yeah, fine. Whatever. Screw you and the NBA.
Yeah, that's very nice talk.
Yeah, I kiss your mother with this mouth.
Oh, wow. Now I guess that makes you a douche.
Oh, and speaking of douches, by the way, your boy Big Ben had himself a day last week.
Yeah, but really, was it a day? I mean...
yeah, of course it was. He was a monster.
But it doesn't feel like any QB can have a day like that, right? I mean, seriously, the way the game is run, I'm just waiting for the world's greatest quarterback.
You must mean... yeah.
Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco, of course.
To throw 1,000 yards one of these weeks. It's just bound to happen.
Well, okay... so it's actually, talking about quarterbacks, it's interesting that you brought this up. We have to discuss this recent piece that came out in Cold Hard Football Facts, on coldhardfootballfacts.com.
Yep.
And now, today, we have the annual Brady Manning Bowl. It kicks off at about 4:25
yes.
this afternoon.
Yep.
And the conversation starts up again in this area. And
as always.
As always.
Yep.
Who's better, Manning or Brady?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a guy named Kerry Byrne, and he decided to put the facts out there. And I am absolutely sure that they will surprise
you.
Yeah,
I did hear something about that, so I can't wait to get into that. So make sure you hit us up at our website, ericandted.com.
And hit us up on Twitter at ericandtedics.
And at Facebook at facebook.com/ericandted.
And make sure you go and check us out on iTunes. All you have to do is get there and search Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social. Buddy, I swear to God, the Batman mask one of my kids wore on Halloween looked just like lead singer Geddy Lee here.
Celebrate the moment.
That's right, buddy. So,
I see I'm reaping the benefits of your kids' candy haul.
Oh, no doubt,
man.
I you know what? Where Eric and I, as often as we argue, we are very, very close friends, and often. He comes over and takes my kids' stuff, and I don't.
He often comes over and takes my kids' candy.
Yeah,
well, you didn't have any ring pops for me last time, so you made up for it.
Oh, but the kids did score themselves Red Sox themed ring pops.
Really?
Boy, I put one away for you, buddy.
I appreciate that.
So speaking of kickoff, right?
Tomorrow, I mean, really, where do you want to start? I mean, we could start anywhere. We could talk about Big Ben and his big week. We could talk about the Brady Manning duel and that age old conversation we've been having for the last 12 years.
Well,
where do you want to start?
You know, it's closer to the last 15 years now at this point. Now, I want to start here with the Brady Manning conversation, and there was an article, as I said again in the open, we were talking about this article on coldhardfootballfacts.com.
The stats are amazing.
Okay.
By the way.
And again, Kerry Byrne, this guy did this. It's like a 3,500-word piece. It's fantastic. The headline is, no debate. Facts show Tom Brady better than Peyton Manning.
Now, I'm going to put this out right away just to squash any little backlash from this. Mm-hmm. Right now, as it stands, and what we saw last year and what we saw this year, the better-performing quarterback is indeed Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yep.
He's hitting the longer balls, he's throwing for more yards and more touchdowns, and his team has a better record.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, just putting that out there, because I don't want to hear, oh, what about this game, or what about that game? We are talking overall body of work. We're talking about everything over the last 10 to 12 years. So, go ahead. I want to hear some stats.
First thing right off the top. The guy breaks the section down. Kerry breaks the section down. And the short version of this, Brady is Manning's statistical equal. statistical equal.
Okay.
Okay. Despite playing his career, his entire career, outdoors.
New England.
With inferior talent.
Much inferior.
Brady puts up more points, wins more games, and this is, we might have to end up bleeping this out.
More playoff games, too.
He doesn't shit the bed every year in the playoffs. Those are the, that's the exact quote. Here's the long version of the story. And he goes into...
You know, the only poor performance I've seen from the New England Patriots, I was in St. Thomas, and it was their matchup against the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, and hey, and that was a year...
And that was just... I was gobsmacked.
Yeah.
Just watching it. And that's really the only time, again, Miami Dolphins fan, this is the only time I saw an inferior Patriots team led by Tom Brady not really shit the bed, but just did not perform adequately enough to go on.
The... Brady has played. This is kind of one of the things that comes up, all right? So we're talking about indoor games versus outdoor games. Where's a quarterback going to have better conditions?
Well, indoor.
Okay. Thank you. I just want to make sure we can't fault Manning for playing
in a dome for 90% of his career.
Well, but here's the thing. Tom Brady has played 92% of his games outdoors.
Yep.
184 out of 201 games. Manning has played 49% of his games outdoors. 121 out of 247. Mm-hmm. So Manning's played half of his games indoors, half his games outdoors.
Yep. Well, massive, with Indy.
Huge advantage. Yep. Huge advantage, yep. Number one.
Well, you want to see some stats, watch Brady, you know, go to a dome and have a field day ripping apart secondaries.
Now let's think about this for 1 second. Let's look instead at the quarterbacks. This is directly word for word from the article. Okay.
And he quotes,
"Of course Manning boasts gaudier volume stats. Most touchdown pass, all that other stuff.
Yeah, throwing at the 1 yard line for touchdowns. Yeah.
He's played longer and throws the ball far more often.
Yep.
When we look instead at the quarterbacks based on averages, percentages, and efficiency, in other words, when we look at them on an even playing field, statistically, the careers are much, much closer than anybody realizes. Brady, 63.5 completion percentage, 7.5 yards per attempt, 5.5 touchdowns. 5.5 touchdown percentage per number of passes, 2% interceptions, 96.1 passer rating.
Yeah, that's for every almost six passes, one of them is a touchdown.
Manning, 65.6, 7.7, 5.9, 2.6, and
marginally a little bit better.
Yeah, this like nanometer better.
Yep.
With the benefit of
when
a
you factor
roster.
In how many playoff games Tom Brady has won, how many Super Bowls he's won, how many Super Bowls he's gone to, how many AFC Championships games he's gone to, wouldn't that then give the edge to good old boy Tom Brady?
Well, not only does Tom Brady get the edge there. This guy goes into such unbelievable.
Yeah, he did his homework.
This guy goes into such unbelievable. Manning hogs the statistical glory for himself. Listen to this. This is also one of the sections. Manning hogs the statistical glory for himself and Brady shares the wealth. Tom Brady will never catch Peyton Manning's all-time touchdown record.
No.
He probably won't play long enough to challenge it. Plus, he spreads the ball around far too much. Check this out. 70.3% of all the touchdowns scored by Manning teams have come via the pass. 70%. That's 7 out of 10 of their touchdowns.
Sounds about right.
53% of all the touchdowns scored by Brady's teams have come via the pass.
Yep.
So
sounds about right.
It's 53%. So
we've been seeing it again in the past decade.
So, man, 20%. This is if Brady keeps the ball in his hands as often as Manning, he'd already be well over 400 touchdown passes, and we'd hear much less about Manning's alleged statistical superiority.
Yep.
Of course, Brady, share the wealth strategy, has paid the team-wide dividends. As noted above, Brady's teams consistently score more points than Manning's teams. Now, this is weird because you think that Manning's broken all of these scoring records. Well, we could go back into, in 2004, they were the number two offense. Guess who was number one?
Exactly.
That's where we keep seeing a lot of these things happen. Brady, by the way, has spread his 377 career touchdown passes among 54 different pass catchers.
Really?
54. All right.
Well, we all know how unstable the Patriots receivers have been the last year.
Now, check this out.
So again,
54 different receivers on 377 touchdown passes. Many of them are long forgotten short-term journeymen that have been forced to play with over his career. Manning's targeted only 45 different receivers with all of his 513 touchdowns. That's remarkable. So Put another way, we used to have this debate back in the 90s. If you put Barry Sanders behind the Cowboys line, he'd rush for 3,000 yards a year.
Oh, yeah.
It was that thing.
Emmitt Smith's
great.
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah, but his records, I mean, wouldn't be records if you take that line and give it to Peyton.
Yeah. If you take Tom Brady's wide receivers, give those to Peyton Manning, take Peyton Manning's wide receivers.
Are you kidding me?
You'd have
go ahead, everybody. Imagine a world where Tom Brady plays in a dome with Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, Dallas Clark in his prime.
Edgerrin James.
With a backfield of Edgerrin James and Marshall Faulk. Yeah. I mean, tell me what type of records would fall.
Really? And the one time you gave Brady a combination of Welker and Moss.
They didn't win the Super Bowl.
They went 18-1. Oh, shucks.
Yeah. On a freak best catch I've ever seen in any big game ever.
It was great. Honest to God, that guy better have a Boston Canton someday.
He should never have to buy a beer in New York.
Yeah, right? It should literally be just David Tyree in a helmet with a football stuck to the top of his head. That's the Boston Canton for him. Now, this is where it comes with Peyton Manning has also played with plenty of strong Super Bowl caliber defenses. This is a huge advantage for Manning. Check this out. Tom Brady is the greatest winner in the history of football. That's the headline right here. The NFL is very simple at the end of the day. You win when your quarterback plays better than the other guy's quarterback. And Brady's teams have won more often and more consistently than any other team in the history of football. Mm-hmm. Brady is the top quarterback in the NFL history.
Get rid of him.
History.
He's a bum. He's washed up. Oh, my God. What are you talking about? Throw all that stuff away. Getting Garoppolo.
Where's Garoppolo? God.
And this is it's a microcosm of the Patriots fandom. You saying these these stats, right? Yes. You're going through all this stuff, right? And I'm sitting here as a Dolphins fan thinking, okay, I had a team that had a quarterback that put up stats. Mm-hmm. I had a quarterback that had records.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what it would be like to have a quarterback with those type of stats when that consistent win ability, the winning percentage, that type of deal. You would think that there would be hardly anything that could upset these fans. Wrong.
Well,
wrong.
So if you took the Patriots three Super Bowls in 4 years?
Yep.
If you took that...
Five Super Bowl appearances.
AFC Championship games. Four in a row if they make it this year kind of thing. They've made the last
three. Which
they
will.
Okay. Question for you then. If you took those three Super Bowl championships and you put them in the 15 years or whatever that Tom Brady's been the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots, if you put one at the beginning, one in year middle, five, one then one year like nine, would people feel differently? I think that's a valid question. Would people feel differently about Tom Brady and about the Super Bowl or bust?
No,
attitude?
Because no, absolutely not. I actually think it would be more intense. I think the uprising of getting somebody else in or getting him over the hill. I think that would have, after the second one going another 5 years, they would have had it.
Okay.
Patriots fans are never satisfied.
Well, it's funny, Patriots fans. If you think about this last decade and a half, they've been around since the 1960.
They've been relevant since
2000. Well, 96, no. 96 no, yeah, they made it to the Super Bowl. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, we got to give, they made we gotta to the, give Super Bowl. The Bledsoe and Parcells, even a little bit of Pete Carroll in there. We got to give those teams credit for making the team relevant, and Bill Belichick and Tom Brady for taking it to the next level.
I'll give that credit back to Kraft then. I'm not giving that credit to Bill Parcells, because when Bill Parcells took an interview from the Jets
the week of
the Super Bowl, that's the thing that killed that team.
We know.
For me. Oh, and Desmond Howard's two returns for touchdowns.
Yeah, why kick to the guy?
Well, right. Why would you? Yeah,
that was a gift to Brett Favre. You're welcome.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You're welcome, Brett Favre. Yeah, I hope everything's cool and your Wrangler's on your tractor, you dickhead.
Stop taking dick pics.
Stop sending dick pics, you jerk off. So... This section right here, and this is just unbelievable. We were just talking about the NFL. At the end of the day, it's pretty easy, right? Brady's the top quarterback in NFL history in terms of win percentage, win-loss differential, home win percentage, and away win percentage. However you want to cut it, Tom Brady wins more often and more consistently than any quarterback who has ever played. The only quarterback who even challenges for this title is...
Joe Flacco.
You would think so because he is the greatest quarterback in the world. Give me the oldest throwback football name you can even come up with.
Johnny Unitas.
Crazier.
Really?
Otto Friggin Graham. Graham.
All right.
The only guy that can challenge Tom Brady is Otto Graham, who posted a better win percentage but played in just six NFL seasons, a total of 71 games. That's it. Otto Graham also played his last game in 1955. Okay? So we look at, we took a fact, this is again from the article, took a fact-filled look at Tom Brady, the victory machine, at the start of the season. And, quote, the numbers are dizzying. So, as...
Tom Kraft's and Bill Belichick's victory
Tom
machine.
Kraft?
Oh, yeah.
Tom Kraft.
It's a high
Oh, well, actually, that's Tom Brady's new name because yes. the Krafts did adopt him. Yes. But as we go into tomorrow, again, this branding...
Who do you have? I know we're jumping the gun a bit. Who do you have?
Now... I'm glad we're doing this now. Okay, just this game we can talk about now, all right? So it's the Manning slash Brady Bowl.
We are in the middle of a nor'easter. The wind's going to get pick up more.
Yeah.
It's going to be some rain. It's kind of nasty out there.
There's
a
golden...
Cool.
Okay, all
pretty
right.
cold out there.
You see, now you and I, we know we'll go to Foxwoods, we'll hit the tables, you know.
I can't. I don't have time.
We're poker players, and, you know, all of that good stuff. There's a golden rule in gambling. A golden rule.
Well, what if you, can't,
football
if you can't spot the donkey at the table, you're it.
Well, no, this is the football gambling one.
Oh.
Always take the home dog.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots are 3.5-point underdogs tomorrow against Peyton Manning's Broncos.
Ooh, they love being underdogs, don't they, that Patriot team?
You think?
They do.
You know, and they're looking for their billboard material. Maybe it just came out of Vegas. My thing is that...
Yeah, because the Broncos won't give it to them.
No, the Broncos aren't going to give it to him. No, the Broncos are too
smart. Between Fox, Elway, and Manning, they ain't going to let that happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody's going to run their mouth on that team.
I can't wait to see, but I think that the Patriots may edge this one out because of the conditions.
I would take that a step further and be like, they are going to edge this out.
Okay.
I mean, like you say, you can't go through all those numbers. Okay,
yep.
And hidden in those numbers, and again, this is not the Brady Manning show.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to go into to all of that and that, but it is a fact that Tom Brady is the best bad weather quarterback. Period.
Unquestionably.
That's not a small sample size either.
No,
that's every year.
Roethlisberger is a pretty good one too. So
he is. He's not bad, and he's also a jerk off.
Yeah,
but and Manning traditionally is not. I wouldn't even say he takes. I mean, I say he takes a step back in bad weather games,
and a bad weather game against what I think to be his. He has a quarterbacking nemesis.
Oh, of course he does,
and it's Tom Brady.
And people are like, well, how can that be? They don't go against each other. Well, sure they do. Yeah, it's called a duel.
Yeah,
it's called a duel.
Like these guys.
How fast can you take your offense down the field before I can get on the field and do the same thing to you?
Now, an interesting little juxtaposed against that is Manning also has another sort of nemesis, and it's in the mind of a football
his
mind.
Nemesis is Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick
and
is his nemesis.
Defensive schemes and the different stuff that he throws at him.
And I think that at the same time, Belichick thrives on this type of thing. Oh, you know, do you think he honest? Do you think that Rex Ryan is a football intellectual on par with Bill Belichick? Of course not.
No, but I wouldn't put him too far behind him either.
On defense, I would.
Yeah.
But his
overall?
Overall? No, not even close.
No.
And see, this is the thing. When,
but defense,
when Peyton Manning breaks a record,
when
Peyton Manning breaks a record and he does the piece of grass in his teeth, yaw shucks kind of attitude, and he starts bringing up like...
With that red forehead.
Yeah, right. with his bulbous red forehead, five head, whatever. And he says something to the effect of, well, Lou Groza, he was a heck of a ball player for the Cleveland Browns back in 1956. This guy's a football historian. He's a genius when it comes to the game. The only guy in the entire NFL right now that has the same type of mind, that Walter Camp style like reverence for the game, is Bill Belichick.
No.
So Peyton Manning has an intellectual equal.
Well, sideline. I mean, it's tough to find a more football royalty than the Mannings in their pedigree.
And if you do, it might be Belichick and Brady at this point.
If they were related.
Well, Eric and I are going to take a quick break. You stick around for about 2 minutes and 36 seconds. Check this little ditty out, and don't forget
to... He said ditty.
That's right, I did, buddy. And don't forget to hit us up on Twitter, at EricandTedICS.
And our website, EricandTed.com.
Make sure you look for us on Facebook at Facebook.com/EricandTed.
And iTunes, Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
Welcome back to Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
I am Eric.
And I'm Ted, and I want to throw it back to you now. We just had our Brady Manning discussion. We now know beyond any shadow of any reasonable doubt that the greatest quarterback in the entire NFL is Joe Flacco.
Yes.
And
followed closely second by Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, yeah.
Followed by...
Otto Graham.
Yes.
Yeah. And maybe Peyton Manning up there, too.
Yeah.
And so, talk to me. What else happened in sports this week? I know a couple of big things happened.
Well, so, I'd like to talk about something. I'm really bothered by my lack of, how should you say, appreciation
for
Ben Roethlisberger. Huge game this past Sunday.
Massive game.
Huge game.
And against the Colts, it was a... Yeah. It was a
500 plus yards, 517, something like that.
Yeah.
Six touchdowns.
This is like a world-class record-setting performance.
All right. Why am I not impressed? Not even a little bit. Like, I watched that. If that was any other quarterback, and I'm talking any other 31 quarterbacks in the league did that, I don't care who they are, I'm very, very impressed. I don't care if it was Peyton Manning, I'd still be impressed.
Now, I'm going to
tell you. Ben Roethlisberger does it, and I'm like, who gives a shit?
It's a manifestation of your deep-rooted hatred for Peyton, for Ben Roethlisberger.
It's got to be.
Bottom
line. And that bothers me. Like, I couldn't even appreciate a 500-plus yard, six-touchdown, and I'm like, eh, fluke.
Well, one.
Like, not even.
It probably was fluky. Like, eh. But the
like,
other
that's
thing.
Not real. I hate him that much. But I hate him that much that I really do not give a shit. And that doesn't impress me in the least.
All right, so now...
If he did 8 touchdowns and 800 yards, maybe I'd be impressed.
Okay, so what if... let me throw a scenario at you. So they played against the Colts. We know this. He has this monster day against the Colts. So say he's in the middle of this game and he throws the same thing, the 600 yards, the 6 touchdowns, whatever. And Andrew Luck...
Do the same thing.
Do almost the same thing, except throw for 480 yards and 4 touchdowns.
And win. Yeah. I'd be more impressed with Luck.
And therein lies the issue. You apparently are suffering from...
What?
You feel as though you had been taken into a bathroom stall by Ben Roethlisberger.
And violated.
And violated.
Yeah, no.
Like Ben,
yeah.
I don't like the guy.
I either. Carry that torch of hatred with me everywhere I go. There will never be a day where I respect, like, or am wowed by Ben Roethlisberger.
The thing I think that might have actually happened, and because Roethlisberger has a pedigree for this, a track record, if you will.
Well, he loves chubbies.
He may have roofied the entire defensive backfield. And
I mean, really, everybody. I was really surprised with the outcome of that game. I know the Colts defense isn't great by any stretch of the imagination, but really, you're going to let Big Ben throw for 6 touchdowns and 500 plus yards?
Well, and I think that this is one of those reasons why I've told you 100 times already, even regardless of the Manning, the Brady, the everything, the Flacco. we can't, dude. You know,
I love how we keep including him in our best quarterbacks in the world.
Like to keep the straight face when we're talking about, and we just throw Joe Flacco out there,
best quarterback in the league,
best quarterback in the league, man, bar none. Paid like the best quarterback in the league. He is the best quarterback.
And then he goes and actually has a good game. Was it the other week?
It was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and I'm like, nah, bastard. Now I can't shit on him.
No, it's not even shitting on him. You know what it is?
He earned his money that game.
Yeah, that game. He earned it. Yeah, nice work, man.
Good job, Joe Flacco.
Going into this week's games, you already have the Patriots beating the Broncos.
I do.
Can you give me, I don't know, can you ballpark?
And that's the cheap game of the week.
Yeah, I'm sure.
For $1,400.
Yeah, $1,400.
You can sit 50-yard line.
So the question being, what do you got for a final score for that for me? I'm curious about that.
I mean, I'm thinking it's going to be a game probably, 28-24, 32-28.
Okay, so you have a pretty high
score. It is
game.
A one-score game,
but
I don't think it's as much of a nail-biter as some other people might think.
I think one of the things that may come into effect for the first time now this season for the Broncos
garbage time,
not having Prater.
Yeah.
And
I got rid of him real quick.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have drank that beer, Prater.
Unbelievable.
So Detroit's appreciating him, though.
We
can talk about that. How Detroit screwed themselves into a win. Never happens before with them, and usually they screw themselves out of wins. This week they screwed themselves into one.
Tell me about the game. Played in London.
Well, I mean, it was a really good game. Okay, I got to say this for the fans out there, and it could be because they have such a small dosage of it. Mm-hmm. They really do get up for the games. You know what I mean? They sell out the stadium.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There's definitely a buzz there. Okay.
Sure.
Now, if they want to do it, was it 5 games next year?
I think something
Yeah,
like
I
that.
Think it's 5 games next year. We'll see how they react to that many games and then putting a team there, which would be the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. But
yeah, but we'll see when they get to football fatigue.
Yeah, exactly. But right now, it's still very new to them. So, sure. But it's always a good crowd. It was a good game. And then you got, 21-0 after the first half.
Yeah.
Falcons.
Yeah.
And
21-19. On the last,
21-19 going into the last drive. I believe Matty Ice there threw a pick, threw a pick there on the last possession, which set them up for this.
I think it might have happened.
So,
which sucks they're going because to we love him because he's Boston College.
Yeah, you know? No, big fan of Matty Ice.
Yeah.
So it's 43-yard field goal attempt to win it, to steal this victory because they shut him out in the second half. Great defensive effort.
Yeah.
Shut them down. Offense kicks in. about to kick it, 43 yards, delay a game. And guess what? They missed that field goal.
It was.
Ball snaps.
Just a bit outside.
They missed the field goal. But wait, that's a delay a game call. Back it up 5 yards. And what do you think happens?
A 48-yard field goal for Prater.
Good field goal for Prater. The Lions win the game. First time they've actually screwed themselves into a win.
I think, and this is the Jim Caldwell experience, I think that what's happening is the culture of losing is starting to shift.
It would be nice. I'd like to see, like you say, NFL is better when Oakland's good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a firm believer that the NFL is better when Detroit Lions are good.
Like when the Detroit Lions, even though that's such a far cry, such a weird thing to say, but when there's new teams, like teams that are always on the cusp, when it's the Lions or that couple of years, that Randall Cunningham era in Minnesota.
They should have won a Super Bowl. Jesus.
And they lost on the Anderson's kick.
Yeah, Anderson, who hadn't missed a field goal 44 all
for
year.
44, I think he was.
All year. Does not miss a field goal and miss, what was it, 28?
He missed he missed a chip.
It wasn't so much of a chip, but it was a short kick. And misses it. That was awful.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
I believe so, too. yes, Bob Uecker.
Now, the what?
We had a World Series winner, man.
No, we didn't.
We did.
I refuse to acknowledge
we
it.
We did. We did. And it was a tough one. Do we talk Dynasty?
It's too late. There already is
San Francisco. San Francisco Giants, three World Series in 5 years. And we were happy with our 3-10.
Yeah. And
which we should be.
Oh, well,
you know, I mean, three World Series in 10 years is nothing to sneeze at, especially if the Boston Red Sox. But they've won 3 in 5 years. I'm sick of them. I'm over them. But boy, is that Bumgarner absolutely out of his mind insane.
It's every year they come up with a guy who it pitches out of his mind. A few years ago, it was Tim Lincecum.
Yeah.
And then a couple of years ago, it was the beard.
Yes. But now, so Bumgarner.
It was
a point.
Matty Bum.
It was a 0.78 or something like that. ERA, it was ridiculous. Please. So he gets the two victories.
Mm-hmm.
Gets the two victories. And then they put him out there in the fourth inning.
And he's lights out.
Well, he was a little bit more hittable than he was in the other two games, but you expected that. But he got out of, you know, giving up a single. Okay, well, that was about it. That was a close game, 3-2.
Yeah.
I mean, the Royals were that close. They even threatened.
Yeah.
They were that close to winning the World Series, and that's really what I wanted to see. We all know that. Mm-hmm. We didn't hide that. But, hey, they earned it. Earned it.
Question for you. Does Alex Gordon try to stretch that into an in the Parker? The Alex Gordon.
No, he wouldn't. And Deadspin put it perfectly. No, idiots. He was not going to score. No, because that was the first thing. As soon as the game was over, that was out there because you knew, you mm-hmm. felt it, that everybody was going to be on that and be like, oh, I don't know why they didn't send him. Okay, so instead of having a guy at third and a dribbler or, you know, a small single, any type of base hit ties this game, you're going to send that guy. He would have been. Now,
well, we already know. Now
I say, all right, he makes the guy make the throw. He's got to make a decent throw. He doesn't have to make a good throw. He doesn't have to make a really good throw. Just an average throw that you see in any freaking game all year long would have this guy out at home mm-hmm. with probably at least 3 or 4 steps.
15 feet.
Yeah, for the guy to wait to put the tag on.
Yeah.
Now, if he doesn't make that throw, obviously the guy scores and the game is tied.
Mm-hmm.
But do you really want to take that chance?
No.
When you got the Hardy order coming up and all he has to do is get a single to tie it?
You know that we always talk about the unwritten rules of sports. And one of them is you never make the last out of an inning at home
plate. Yeah, never.
Never.
Never. There's two outs. You got a guy coming up. You know, you're going to stretch that?
Yeah.
The guy had it in his glove already.
Yeah, and he was in his crow hop.
Oh, yeah.
Getting ready to hit the cutoff.
Yeah, no. So for all you know, either Giants haters or Kansas City Royals fans that believe he should have been sent, the third base coach absolutely made the right call in holding him up.
Now, and also if you're not watching Olbermann's new show on ESPN, you are missing out on an unbelievably good show.
Yep.
Olbermann broke it down. From using different angles. And then he shows Alex Gordon on third, like rounding third, and what the projected trajectory of that ball would have been. He would have been out by 15 feet.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. So you weren't just throwing that number out?
No, I was. This is legit. Like, this guy was out by 15 feet. So it's one of those coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Four strides. Like
sure.
I said, he would have time to catch the ball, get in front of the plate, and just wait.
Yep. And we're talking about Buster Posey.
Now, if he throws it over his head,
sure.
Throws it way far right,
but if you're,
fine.
But if you're in the World Series, you're not the kind of guy that's going to do that. Yeah. And that's why I'm fine.
You got to hold him up. You got to hold him up. It sucks that the guy struck out after that.
Sure.
But again, this guy pitched out of his mind.
Yep.
Now, this tells you all you need to know. They kept him in for the ninth inning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know this, but their closer,
mm-hmm.
19. Scoreless innings in the playoffs.
In the playoffs.
19 consecutive scoreless innings in the playoffs.
That's money.
That's money. So how out of his mind does a guy have to be in pitching for you not to put that guy in there in the ninth inning?
Mm-hmm.
That tells you all you need to know about what this guy Bumgarner was doing out there on the mound.
And we're talking about a closer. We're not talking about a guy you were... Yeah. And it's seventh game of the World
Series.
No,
so I mean,
you're not saving anybody.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. You're talking one run leading, game seven of the World Series. You got your closer, 19 straight scoreless innings in the playoffs. You know, you're confident he can mow down three guys, but you can't take him off the mound. You cannot take Bumgarner off the mound.
How?
He's responsible for 3 out of the 4 World Series wins that San Francisco had. Do they win? If they don't put him out in game seven.
Well, do you know what?
I don't think so.
You know what the other thing that's pretty scary about Baumgartner is
that he's not that old.
That's almost exactly where I was going. The thing that's really scary about him for NL teams is that it's not only his age, his his pool of talent that he's drawing from isn't a, he's not 99 miles an hour all the time.
No.
He's not like Josh Beckett.
92, he was striking
guys out 92.
He's not like
the 2001, 2002 yeah. Josh Beckett,
yes.
who was throwing 99 yeah. and he was just going to smoke
with
you.
Movement, yeah.
Yeah, he's a lot more like that middle level Pedro yeah. Martinez.
What's
where,
he going to pitch?
Yeah,
what, you don't know what he's going to throw at
there.
You.
Yep. Yeah.
He could throw you four straight, high and tight,
yep.
and on that fifth pitch, you are still...
Afraid
of high and tight and yeah. swinging and missing.
Yeah.
You don't think, well, he's got to... No, you don't know what he's going to do.
Don't know.
His
range of pitches that he's able to throw from, yep. the arrows in his quiver, if you will.
Yep.
But that...
It was quite a performance.
We were talking about it last week. 96 for his fastball.
Yeah,
86,
like 86
for his
changeup. Yep.
And his 12-6 curve was...
Yeah, and he was going 92 to 82. I mean, the guy had it going.
Yeah.
And it was a really, really
this wasn't like, and this wasn't a guy who rolled out of the rack and had a couple of good games.
Yeah.
This guy did this all year.
Yep.
And that's the thing.
And he just took it to one little extra notch, if you will, during the playoffs, especially the World
Series. Which makes them...
Which is what you're supposed to do.
Which makes them not only a dynasty,
mm-hmm.
but a dynasty on the rise.
Yeah.
Like these guys could be around...
Oh, yeah.
Their money's
yeah.
right. Their talent's
yeah, they weren't,
right.
You weren't talking getting a pool of aging veterans in.
Nope.
You know, a big-name pitchers.
Like the 07 yep. Sox did.
Yeah, or even the 04, you know, with bringing in Schilling.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And Becky, even though he was much better than what he was, he still... Mm-hmm. His better years had already happened.
Yeah.
No, these are young talent. When you got a guy like Lincecum coming in out in relief, you got a pretty jacked pitching staff.
I think my final question... is related to this topic. How many Oakland A's hats turn inside out only to reveal San Francisco Giants hats?
I don't know. There's a big hatred between the two.
Boy, I know, but man, that
you got to feel sorry for the A's fans, if anything else. So
I don't feel sorry for them.
Yeah.
Screw the A's.
Kind of tough luck losers, no?
No, they're not hard luck losers for me. You know why?
I said tough luck.
Tough luck, hard luck, no luck.
No luck.
Well, they have well, Billy.
How did that Lester trade work out for you?
And,
well, for us too.
Yeah. And by the way,
didn't work out for anybody.
I'm all right with the fact that listen, John Lester's not here anymore.
Tell me what we get for Sepetys, and I'll tell you if that worked out for us.
Yeah. Okay. And Sepetys, and the possibility of re-signing John Lester to a long-term deal here.
Don't know how much of the possibility that is now, but we'll see.
He's number one target on their list right now.
We'll see.
He's number one on their list.
We'll see. He's number one on a lot of people's list, but...
So... Dun, 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 dun.
Dum, 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 dum. So we're going to talk football, I guess.
I think it's time, baby.
Is it time for our
picks? You know what? I got to tell you, man. The clock on the wall says it's 3 o'clock. Now, the clock on the wall says it is time.
I'm tired. Walking all day.
I am looking right now, and it's telling me, our schedule is telling me that it is time for us to go into our picks and for Eric to have...
Tell that producer to shut his mouth.
That's me. Eric's got to go. Eric's cheap pick of the week, and I can't wait because this is a tough one this week, man. There's a couple of surprise games out there.
What is my cheap game of the week, sir?
I'm going to let you pick, remember?
So now I have to jump through hoops and do a donkey and pony show?
A donkey and
pony? Yeah, donkey and pony. You need both.
I thought it was a dog and pony show.
No, it's a donkey and pony show.
Maybe.
Do you want to see a donkey show? Do you want to see a donkey show?
Never say yes to that question.
Never say yes to donkey show.
So, hey, who do you got in Tampa Bay visiting Cleveland?
I got Cleveland winning.
All day.
Yeah, all day Adrian Peterson.
When nobody's allowed to say that name.
Yeah, what about Ray Rice? Is anybody signing that guy? Remember
a
time, Ted, when we could do the show and just talk about criminals?
Actually, that was 4 weeks ago. That was in the scope of our existence on this, that was four show hours ago.
Oh, my God. Times have changed.
I know. Arizona at Dallas.
Arizona at Dallas. Well, Dallas clearly is going nowhere fast. Real fast.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
How do you go from...
Do they allow wheelchairs on the field?
I don't know how to answer.
Well, do they? Because that's the only way you're going to win, is if you wheel that crippled, deformed, poor Tony Romo out there to throw from his hip while he's sitting in his wheelchair.
You have no faith in Wheaton?
No, do you?
No, of course not.
Of course not.
One of the toughest teams in the league so far this year has clearly been the Arizona Cardinals.
They have been. And I got the Cardinals winning.
I have the Cardinals blowing Dallas out.
Cardinals, man, leading that division. Show no signs of slowing down.
No.
He might actually walk away with a home game.
Oh my God, could you imagine that?
It'd be crazy.
Wouldn't that be great?
I don't know about great, but crazy, sure.
I'm really tired of
you know me. That's my NFC team is Seahawks.
I don't like Pete Carroll. And
I think
like
Seahawks
are
going to turn it around, and I don't like Jim Harbaugh either. He harbors criminals, as we said last week. The Harbaughs harbor criminals. See?
And actually, and seeing as Pete Carroll, when he coached at USC, was presiding over a criminal empire.
Oh God, just stop.
Philadelphia at Houston.
Jesus Christ.
He's not listening either.
I guess I got Philly. They've been winning and whatnot.
Oh, look, you're all cranky.
Yeah.
Look at you all butthurt. What chapped your ass? Oh, my God. Look how cranky you are.
No, seriously,
you're sweaty from the forehead now.
I have the Philadelphia Eagles walking away with a win.
Jets at KC.
Well, are we going to have your picks?
Nope.
Are you going to give any picks?
Nope,
there?
I'm not giving any picks.
The prognosticator of prognosticators?
I'm not giving any picks this week.
Well, you know what?
I'm only picking one game.
Oh, yeah, and what's that?
I'm picking this next one, Jets.
Just
Kansas
give me
your
freaking pick.
All right, you know what? Because every pick we've had
Kansas
so far.
Kansas City wins that game.
Correct. So we got everything right so far.
All right, so now what?
Jacksonville, Cincinnati.
Well, Cincinnati's going to win that game.
Okay, of course, yes. Now, question.
No, it's not the
have
cheap
we,
game.
We have not gotten
no,
to
we
the
have
cheap
not gotten
game
to the cheap game of the week.
Okay. Eric's cheap game of the week.
Can you make some theme music for me?
I'm going to put something together
maybe
for
the next time.
Yeah, I'm going to do something for
right,
Eric's
good,
cheap game
you.
Of the week.
Appreciate it.
San Diego at Miami.
Oh, I got Miami in this game, and that's not...
No, it is.
Fan hubris. It's
yeah, it
not.
Is. Yeah,
I
it
actually
is.
Nope.
Yeah.
ESPN's picking Miami. What do you say about that?
What, like the...
Some guy on ESPN. the male guy? Delivers the mail to the interns? He's got Miami winning.
Okay. But yeah, ESPN's got him winning. There's like 28,000 people on that.
Well, one of them's got Miami.
They got him winning.
I'm telling you. I heard it. I heard it. Somewhere between sleep and...
It was their golf analyst who's got him. I'd rather play golf in Miami.
Well, whoever it was.
They must have Miami.
Whoever it was, they picked Miami, and I heard it.
The Chargers.
You know Miami are going to beat the Superchargers. The two best theme songs. Sports theme songs.
No,
playing against each other.
Nope. Ram
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team.
Ram
they drive the ball like goal to goal like no one's ever seen. No, we're not doing that. No. Not doing it.
This is it. We're doing our picks with this song playing in the background now, buddy.
Wait.
Oh, Phil Rivers in the bolo tie.
Yeah, no, not going to happen. Miami's winning that game.
Hey.
I haven't heard your pick.
This is my pick.
Really? You're picking the Chargers. Really?
Chargers are going to dominate this week.
Really? With a man like Dan Marino cultivating Tannehill to be the next big thing in the quarterback position. Really? Can you lower that, sir? I can't hear myself talk. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's supposed to help and enhance our picks, not drown them out. Make your freaking pick. The listeners are sick.
San Diego. It's there's no question about
really, it. Really, no question.
No, not only no question. Mm. I have
what are you going to do when I come in on Wednesday and the Miami Dolphins have won?
We're going to keep dancing to San Diego. No, you know what? I thought we were... Wait a minute. Oh, you're picking the game?
Yes.
Oh, see, I thought you were just asking...
No, if I was picking the town, I'd pick San Diego.
I thought you were asking who has the better theme song. And it is by far
the Miami Dolphins.
No, it's this. It's this. But as far as the game is concerned... It's the San Diego Superchargers
by 10.
What's the
next freaking game? By 10?
By 10. Double-digit win this week.
You're insane.
For the San Diego Superchargers.
You're insane. Me and my guy at ESPN, we know what's up.
He's the golf man. All right, Washington at Minnesota.
Oh.
Now, this is Washington coming off a big win.
Ooh.
A big win on Dallas on Monday night.
Washington's awful.
They are awful, but so is Minnesota.
Yeah, who's their quarterback now?
Teddy Bridgewater.
No, I'm talking about Washington, sir. The Redskins.
It's Colt McCoy. McCoy!
Colt
McCoy.
But what about Cousins?
Colt McCoy.
What about Cousins? Because I'm pretty sure you had him as the godsend of quarterback position for the Redskins. Remember earlier before the season even started?
Yeah, and actually
how he should be starting, because he like literally had diarrhea all in his pants.
Except for
that's why he's on the bench
for
now.
His first start where he had 400 plus yards.
Where'd that get him? On the bench.
It got him to the bench.
Got him on the bench.
And we're talking about still the most dysfunctional franchise in the entire National Football League.
The Redskins?
League. Yeah, and now, well.
No, seriously, I am starting to change my tune a little bit.
On who?
On this whole Redskins name. A little bit. You know how steadfast I was? No, this is absurd. You shouldn't change the name of the team. The team is the
yes,
team.
And I,
all of a sudden, everybody's in an uproar, but 5, 10, 20 years ago, nobody had a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
Starting to see how people are a little offended.
Could it be
starting to hear more about how people are offended?
Really, so
and
you're
seeing the larger numbers of those who are offended by the name.
Hmm. Really?
So, yeah, I'm starting to change my tune a little bit.
So you're growing. You're growing as a
don't
person.
Don't tell me that, because I'll just revert.
You're growing as a person.
Don't tell me that. That wasn't my goal.
You're growing as a person. You're becoming more sensitive to the outside world.
Oh, God, shoot me now.
Yeah, well, actually, if you keep saying the R word, somebody is going to right through our friggin' window.
No, seriously, though. When is enough enough?
Talk to Dan Snyder. By the way, speaking of Dan Snyder and his thug crew, did you catch that thing with ESPN Deportes at the end of...
I really doubt I did.
No. Oh, so you didn't see the story
about...
I
did not watch ESPN Deportes.
Colt McCoy was being interviewed, to be interviewed.
Oh, did you talk about the press secretary? Secretary. The press guy?
Yeah.
The PR guy coming over? I told you no.
And no means no.
Are you serious?
And he
yanked Colt McCoy away from the
answer,
interview.
And by the way, how do we make this worse? How do we make this worse?
Go ahead,
we
tell
issue
me.
A statement from the football franchise of Washington.
What'd they say?
He was making sure that Colt McCoy didn't miss Coach Gruden's post-game conversation with the team. That's why.
Oh, bull.
That's it. See, this is the kind of stupid shit that goes around in this asinine Dan Snyder
world.
Talk
about John Gruden.
Listen, no. Oh, yeah, John? Wait, is it John Gruden?
Who's Jay Gruden?
Who's Jay
Who's
Gruden?
Who's they?
Who are they?
What's an aluminum
what
falcon?
What the hell is an aluminum falcon? But seriously, this guy, the answer from the Washington Football Club
is didn't want to miss the post-game.
They didn't want him to miss Coach Gruden's post-game conversation with the team. Mm. And this was the answer. See, what frigging world is this team living in, this Dan Snyder orbit vortex of stupidity and arrogance, that this is what this team goes through? They just had their biggest win in history. This guy is from Texas. Colt McCoy played
at Texas. Game. That was a big game.
He has the hottest mom of any player in the NFL.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Good Lord, that woman is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Then he has an interview with the Spanish-speaking network.
By the way, the biggest
population in the country.
The ESPN Deportes is nothing to sneeze at.
This is massive. Yeah, yeah. He might as well have done a Telemundo show.
Yeah.
But dude, seriously,
Texas. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen a player, a quarterback, get pulled away on TV by a PR guy?
This is, oh my God, I'm
saying
so angry.
No. Like, you know what I would have looked at if I was McCoy, and I swear to God, I don't care.
Look,
I
just get away from me.
I would have been like, I got this. I'm a grown man, right? I'm an adult.
Thank you for not saying grown ass, by the way.
I'm a grown man. No, grown ass man. You're going to wait a second. I got this for 15 seconds while I do an interview in my hometown, my home state.
My home state.
And I
with
just
my
had
family
my biggest,
here.
My biggest victory of my career. And I'm going to give him a little blurb. I'll be with you in a second.
Yeah.
That was embarrassing. Like he was a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
Like his mother came onto the field and said, "No, Johnny, you're coming with me."
It was. But you know what? It's a microcosm of the...
That was embarrassing.
Thank you. That's the word.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
This
for
is
all
why,
involved.
And this is why now this team, this Washington football franchise.
Fire that asshole.
Okay.
So you might want to edit that out. We're trying to keep it clean for the demos.
But we've been dropping S-bombs all over
the place.
Yeah,
but I think that's acceptable now on FX.
Eric of Anarchy.
That's what my mom called me.
That's when he lit the dumpster behind the school on fire, and he blamed it on
it
the
wasn't
rain.
A dumpster. It was a concrete runoff.
And you
know.
Blamed it on the redhead kid and the Portuguese kid. And
a skinny Portuguese and a fat redhead. They took right off going that way.
And you being the hefty Portuguese.
No, I wasn't redhead. I didn't have red hair.
I'm sorry. But I actually, you know what? I lit the woods on the woods behind my house on fire with a skinny redhead kid.
Seems like hat.
That's a true story. By the way, I'm covered in soot after trying to put the fire out. All the fire engines are coming to
Did
the
you
street.
Try to piss on it? We tried.
We tried stomping on it. Yeah. My backyard was like 150 yards long. We ran back with a bucket. Like we were running by the
we had
time
a hole in it too.
Well, by the time we got there, it had sloshed so much there was only like a it's like a spit on it. So we're covered in soot. The fire department is racing to the place, and there's a cop with them, and all of a sudden the fire engines go screwing past us, and then the cops go screwing by us, and then all of a sudden you hear Aah! And my buddy and I decided to sit on my front porch covered,
haven't even washed up
and
not, yeah, I've heard this story
the
before.
Cop backs up and goes, you boys wouldn't know anything about that fire. My buddy looked at them with a straight face and nope it gotta go.
What fire
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, as he's puffing out smoke
and his shoes melting. Yeah, just stopping out right. His pant legs
like those used to fake heads on the bottom.
No, it just says Ed.
No, it just says Ed's. I've kicked the K out of my feet. So that's like, so one of the things that's coming, you brought up a great point about the name. And you're sort of like kind of pivoting a little.
I am.
But I think that one of the things that's happening is it's not even as much a pivot nationally on the name proper. It's when people start to pay attention to how bad this franchise is and how this thing with Colt McCoy and the vain attempts before the salary cap was implemented a few years ago to try to buy championships. Mm-hmm. There were like these little things.
Trying to be
back
the Yankees
of
the NFL.
Bringing back Joe Gibbs and destroying his legacy.
Oh, yeah, right?
Like,
poor guy.
So all of these things that like now people are like, wow, I really hate this loathsome, detestable little douchebag
little man.
Who owns this team. Yeah. And so I think that it's a lot more symptomatic of Dan Snyder and this organization as much as it is
But then again, if it was a lovable owner and a lovable organization, they would have already changed the name.
Possibly, yeah.
Probably.
You know. Well, you know what? I don't know anything about given that, I was going to say the Cleveland Indians, but they did get rid of Chief Yahoo.
They did.
You know, they've basically gotten rid of Chief
like,
Yahoo.
Like, that was pretty offensive.
Oh, dude.
Chief Yahoo. Right. With the big oversized head.
And the giant teeth. Like, what are you doing? Like, oh, I look back at some of the shit that
the
we've been around.
Is
like,
insane.
It's just like
you can taste it.
Like, and yeah, it's like so bad. Like, just, it's like you have to look at those old ads, like an old cigarette ad. And it's like a guy blowing smoke in a woman's face, and it's like, she'll smell your Chesterfields and have to follow you. I'm like, no, she won't.
Really?
She'll be pissed. You blew smoke in her face, you jerk. So, going on to the next game.
What is the next game?
St. Louis visits San Francisco.
Oh, well, that's a no-brainer.
St. Louis?
No, San Francisco.
Really?
Yeah. St. Louis sucks.
I know, but
I don't
know
if you got the memo.
I know, but they had that big win 2 weeks ago.
Good for them. That was 2 weeks ago.
It was.
Are you playing San Francisco playing at home? They ain't going to happen.
We haven't picked one game differently yet because the next game on the list right here
is... Yes, we have. You picked the Chargers. I picked the Dolphins.
No. Oh, I'm sorry. You haven't picked anything right. The one that we have different.
What was that?
Yeah, the one we have different. Mm-hmm. You're not right about.
Yeah,
so.
Sure.
Denver at New England?
I told you. I got New England on that.
All right. Oakland at Seattle.
I didn't hear your pick.
Yeah, you did. We heard it in the first segment.
And what'd you say, the Broncos?
No.
Okay.
I got the Patriots edging this one out.
Okay.
And you said more than edging this one out.
Yeah, I do.
Should I? Yeah.
I do. I think it's still a one-score game, but I don't think it's a close one-score game.
I'm with you on that. Yep. I'm with you.
Yeah. Seattle. Like as in Patriots are taking a knee after the Broncos just scored a touchdown to bring it within seven.
Victory kneel on one. Ready,
yep.
Break.
Yep. Victory formation.
Oakland is visiting Seattle. I don't even think we need to pick that game.
No. No. Seattle, that's what they're going to use as a... To help
springboard
back,
back into like scoring 70 points again.
Yeah, you know, talk about, you know, at Seattle Carolina game. Oof.
Does that even feel like a win for them?
No.
Does that even feel like a win
God,
for them?
No.
That's my question.
That's
like,
that's just on the scoreboard win. That's just for the help their record win. That wasn't you know, go and give everybody high fives in the locker room and feel good about it.
Let me ask you this question about Seattle's offense specifically here. When it's time for Russell Wilson, we've talked about him a million times on this show. When it comes time for Russell Wilson to either win or salt away a game, the kid's money.
Yeah.
Money.
Yep. I'm telling you, he reminds me of Tom Brady in 2001, 2, and 3.
Okay.
When he was still just a game manager, everybody labeled him. Think back now.
I know.
People said, oh, he just controls the game. He doesn't lose it for them. But yeah, but he would still, at the end, bring his team to victory. And that's what Russell Wilson does.
My question is this. For the other 57 minutes of the game, do they not let him play his game?
I don't know what it is. I mean, honestly, I think it's a chemistry issue right now. I think there's a little bit of turmoil going on behind the scenes. You got, you know, their lead running back, Marshawn Lynch, not even speaking to the coach. You know, all this talk about how he's not going to be a Seahawk next year, and he's unhappy this, he's unhappy that, he held out a mini camp. I mean, that stuff starts to snowball. And when that stuff starts to get out of the locker room, that's when you really see the effects of it, I think. And it's out of the locker room, or else we wouldn't be talking about it. So I think chemistry has something to do with it.
They lean on him to put the game away against Washington. They lean on him to win the game against Carolina. He doesn't get a chance in the last minute of the game against St. Louis, but you have to think that if he did, he would have scored.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening in the other, as I said, 57 minutes? Like, it can't just be a continuity issue with the way that everybody feels about each other. It's got to be one of those, like, are they keeping him, like, in the pen? Like, are they not letting him get out of the pocket and throw the ball down the field? Are they
it has to do with the play calls, because there was a lot of three and outs or two, you know, like, get a first down, but then go.
Okay, then,
you know,
is the question then, so at the end of the game, do they turn around and look at Russell Wilson and say, put this thing away, and then they let him call his own plays or something?
Well, I don't know about calling his own plays, but they put it in his hands. You're like, okay, you're going to win it for us. We're calling, you know, 3 out of 5, 4 out of 5 pass plays, go.
Okay.
And so if you see the opening run.
Doesn't it lend itself now? If any time you put the outcome of the game in Russell Wilson's hands, he basically wins it for you.
Yep.
Wouldn't it be a good idea to let him start in the first quarter doing that?
Well, if you think about it, the fast starts they would have in those games that they scored a lot of points, that's what he did.
Okay.
That's not happening now.
Why? What the hell are they doing?
I'm not the coaching staff, my friend.
Okay, are you a Pete Carroll fan right now? Right now, are you
a Pete
Carroll
fan?
Well,
he's not the one. I mean, is he the one calling all the plays, or is it offensive coordinator?
Everything, it doesn't matter. I know it comes through, but still. Everything comes and goes through that coach.
Yeah, well, no, I saw in Miami, everything goes in through Coach Feldman. But the offensive coordinator was screwing us over pretty, you know, big time. We'd be running the ball. All of a sudden, he gets away from the run. We lose the game. But still, it came from the offensive coordinator, regardless of if it got past the head coach.
In Seattle, are you right now a fan of Pete Carroll?
Yes, I'm a fan of Pete Carroll, period.
So all of this crap getting out of the locker room, all the rah-rah bullshit that we know that isn't working anymore.
Mm-hmm.
His number one running back's not talking to him.
Yeah, it seems like he's losing control.
Yeah, he's totally lost his grip on this franchise.
No, I didn't say that. I said he's losing control.
I think he's lost his grip on this franchise, and I think by the end of the year, they're a wild card team.
If they're a wild card team, then obviously he didn't really lose his grip, did he?
What, to take a team that just won the Super Bowl 43-8 or whatever,
Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots do after they won their Super Bowl in 2001? Didn't make the playoffs, did they?
No.
It happens to the best, so why would I all of a sudden not like Pete Carroll?
You don't think that this is a little bit different than the end of 2001?
Just saying.
What's happening in the Giants' locker
room? To the wild card
game,
that's a success.
No, it's not. You think that that's a success?
The team that we've seen this year, yes.
This Super Bowl team.
The team
from
that
last
we've
year,
seen this year.
That we basically that's last picked year. To go 14-2 this
right,
year.
And clearly it's not the same team. Or else we wouldn't be looking at them at 4-3. Clearly, it's a different team.
I think we can call them this week. I think
we can
call them 5-3.
Yeah, a little cheeky, but yeah.
Oakland, we hate you for hating yourselves.
Yeah, you know, we always say you're better. We're better.
The NFL's better when Oakland's better.
Yep.
But I don't know.
I guess we'll have to wait to get better.
All right, so I guess the jury's out on Pete Carroll for us right now.
So you have Oakland winning.
Yeah, top of my list. Now, okay. The best matchup of the week.
We already did the Miami San Diego.
Oh, no. The two best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Oh, we already picked that game.
Oh, you mean we picked Baltimore. Joe Flacco and Ben Roethlisberger?
Oh, really?
Oh. You almost hope for ACL injuries around.
I'm saying there's a tie.
I know that
this game
like
ends
the
in
two
a tie.
Most loathsome franchises
six
in the
to
league.
Six.
A 6-6 tie.
Yep.
But the two best quarterbacks in the NFL, man.
I know.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it? I got Baltimore going in. Smacking
I'm abstaining.
Around. No, yep. You can't.
I refuse.
You recuse yourself from
I
this.
Do.
You can't recuse
I
yourself from a pick.
No, I think I can.
No, you got to give me a pick.
Damn it. Where are they playing?
Pittsburgh.
Ah, damn it.
Come on.
You know, for all my fantasy fantasy compadres out there at the Ice Cream Social Fantasy League.
The narcissistically named.
He is available for trade.
Who, Big Ben?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't believe I haven't gotten any offers.
Because
he's what? Been doing nothing but put fantasy points up?
He's not Joe Flacco, for one.
I'm just saying.
We all know who the best quarterback in the NFL is.
You need a quarterback. I got a quarterback.
Shut up. Nothing's more boring than your fantasy.
All right, I got. Come on. I guess I got Big Ben.
All right, I'll pick Joe.
Yeah.
All right, I know. God. It sucks, doesn't it?
It leaves a bad taste
dirty.
In my mouth. Yeah, I got to take a shower.
And the last game of the week, the last game of the week is Indianapolis needs to rebound against the New York Giants.
They definitely do. I got Andrew Luck having a huge game.
Is that because
huge
he's on
game.
The most boring thing in the world, your fantasy
team? My fantasy team? Yeah.
All right, so
no, seriously, the Colts are going to beat them.
Yeah, Colts are coming back out, and yeah. I think that closes out that segment.
Really, that's how you look at these segments? I look at it as an open-ended, heartfelt conversation between two friends.
I'm still waiting on Eric's cheap ticket of the week, and you still haven't.
Tennessee's not playing this week?
No. See, Atlanta, Buffalo.
Then I got to go with the Minnesota game.
Ding, 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 ding. Yay! Eric Hitt's cheap game of the week.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Washington at Minnesota.
I was waiting for that Tennessee game to drop.
At 1 p.m. at the TCF
How
Bank
much?
Stadium.
How much? $19?
$18. $18. Oh, you were only a dollar up. Okay. What's the most expensive ticket of the week?
I got to say the New England Patriots and the Denver Broncos.
Ding, 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 ding.
There
you would
go.
Hit two out of two.
That's what I'm talking about.
Nice job.
I need to get a stuffed animal for that.
Yeah. Okay. I'll get right on that. And I promise I will get you a stuffed animal at some time.
You better.
But I think that's going to do it for this week's Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Ted.
We'll see you next week. Make sure you hit us up at our website, ericandted.com. Don't steal my line.
I'm trying not to. We're also make sure you hit us up on Twitter at Eric and Ted ICS.
And check out iTunes and just search Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
And facebook.com/Eric and Ted.